Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Welcome aboard the Athletics Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets with Tim McMaster, Zach Rosenblatt, and Marissa Dunn.
Can't wait!
The New York Jets select Olu Fashanu, tackle, Penn State.
Happy draft night, everybody. The pick is in for the New York Jets. They select Olu Fashanu. I got it right, guys. I got it right. It's easy from here. We'll get it down pat. But not when they expected to make their first pick, or when we expected them to, as the Jets do trade back one spot and pick up a couple day three picks along the way for that. We're going to break down the trade. We will break down Olu, of course, and get into all of that. Happy to have you here if you're watching the stream of the Can't Wait podcast, or if you're catching us early on Friday. We will wrap up day one of the NFL draft. I'm Tim McMaster, along with Zach Rosenblatt, our Jets reporter at The Athletic, and Marissa Dunn, who is, as we know, super producer, but taking it to another level tonight. Not only is she producing this live stream, but she's running the ticker for the Athletic Football Show live stream at the exact same time. She's literally doing two live streams at the same time. So if she doesn't speak much tonight, you'll know why. But Marissa, excellent job as always.
This is always a fun night. I'm happy to be part of it. And if you're watching this one, head over to the Athletic Football Show feed after this.
But not till you're done.
Yeah, not till we're done, of course.
Zach, your favorite night of the year?
I do enjoy it. It is stressful. You know, you were joking with me because you get a pretty good idea of who a pick might be. And things happen ahead of you. So I did some pre-writes and stuff. And
how'd that work out?
Those go out the window. A book with all my pre-writes that didn't come to pass. Like I said, I had one of last year ready in case they didn't get Aaron Rodgers, kind of thing. Like, you have a lot of those over the years. I remember when I covered the Giants, I had a Dave Gettleman was fired pre-write for like two seasons because I thought he was gonna get fired much sooner, and so I just kept updating it over time. But anyway, it's fun, it's exciting, it's thrilling in the moment, other than when Connor spoils all the picks.
Hopefully everybody muted Connor tonight. Yes.
Yeah. In general, mute him. Like, it's not the worst idea.
Now, that's funny what you say though about those the stories that never get told or never get seen by people. Because I had this conversation with Jason Stark, who's obviously been writing a lot longer than you have, and has frankly covered a lot bigger things in the sports world, right? And he literally has stories that he has kept over all these years like the wrong team winning the World Series, right? Like, he has the Texas Rangers winning the World Series story from back in, what was it, 2011, when they lost to the St. Louis Cardinals in that wild World Series. He has like the Rangers won the World Series on his computer still.
I had a funny one when I covered the Eagles. Bo Wolf always, he still refers to it kind of to this day. During training camp, I had like a feature writer to go about Clayton Thorson, a guy they drafted at quarterback. He was like awful, but good kid. And I would like talk to like people from college and high school, and then they cut him after training camp. And so that never saw the light of day. So Bo Wolf kept joking repeatedly, like, I'm still waiting for your Clay. Well, he used to call him a bunch of different names, but I'm still waiting for your Clayton Thorson feature. And I was like, recurring bit with him. So
it's coming.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the draft. Let's go through how we got to the Jets pick at number 11. It was chalk at the top, man. I mean, this thing was boring as can be. If
you for the first six. Yeah.
Yeah. Caleb Williams, no shock, goes to the Bears at one. The Washington stays at two and takes Jaden Daniels. Patriots stay at three and take Drake May. So three quarterbacks. Then four, it's Marvin Harrison Jr. to Arizona. The Chargers take the first lineman off the board, Joe Alt out of Notre Dame. The Giants get Malik Nabers, a big weapon for them out of LSU. There was talk that he would go ahead of Harrison Jr., like late in the build up to the draft, but he goes six to the Giants. Tennessee takes Jason Latham out of Alabama. Then the surprise, number eight, Atlanta, who signed Cousins already this offseason.
To a four-year deal.
Yeah, to a four-year deal. They signed Michael Penix Jr., who will be wrapping up his rookie contract when that deal ends for Kirk Cousins. So that was the surprise. And that set up the Jets, it felt like, at that point, because we kind of talked about Odunze or Bowers. And at that point, one of those guys was going to be available. But Odunze, who I think the Jets probably really wanted, we can talk a little bit about that, goes to the Bears. So the Bears get their quarterback in Caleb Williams and maybe a number one receiver in Rome Odunze at 1 and 9. Then the Jets make the move. They move back one spot so the Vikings can move up to number 10. They take J.J. McCarthy. The Jets get 11, a fourth round pick, number 129, fifth round pick, number 157. And they also send number 203 in the sixth round over to Minnesota. And then we get to the Jets, who take Olu Fashanu, number 11. Let's start here, Zach. This was the smart pick.
Yeah, just to circle back to like how it played out in front of them. I'll start here. I think Rome Odunze was going to be the pick if he was there. I don't get the sense that they were looking to trade up. I'd heard today that there were teams, one specifically that was much later in the order, so it was a little harder to move up, that there was teams that wanted to move up to go and get him, but the Jets were planning on staying pat or moving back. I think that was it turns out that was always the plan. I think they were open to moving up, but I don't think they really wanted to give up assets as much as they wanted to get assets. So once Rome went off the board, I thought there was a chance he might make it to 10. It seemed like maybe there was a chance as it got closer and closer, especially with the Penix pick, which came out of left field. Obviously, you think, okay, maybe somebody will jump ahead to get J.J. McCarthy, but that wound up happening at 10. So I do think it was a Dunze or an offensive lineman, I think, was ultimately what they settled on. Nabers was another one. I'd say Nabers and Dunze were like the two guys they had in terms, if they were going to get a skill position guy, it was going to be one of those two. And if those guys were gone, Joe was pretty dead set on picking an offensive lineman, is my understanding. So he picked the top one that they had on their board. I think they had Fashanu higher than J.C. Latham even. I'm not sure about Joe Alt. I think Joe Alt was the number one for most evaluators. But ultimately, you know, Fashanu, I guess before I get fully into Fashanu, I should say Brock Bowers obviously was the one that everybody was projecting to the Jets.
A lot of people didn't. I'm even seeing in the chat right now, people, there's like a sigh of relief that they didn't.
Yeah. Well, it was
not that Bowers isn't going to be a special.
The fan base was very split on Bowers. That's for sure. Like it was very, I think he's going to be a very good NFL player, but ultimately what I wanted to say is I think Joe Douglas deserves a lot of credit, because I think that pretty clearly was a smokescreen. I think he made sure to, even in his press conference, if you go back and watch, like we weren't even asking directly about Bowers until the end when he was asked directly about like a tight end, but he kept like referring to, you know, Swiss Army knife. There's a Swiss Army knife tight end in this draft. Like, I think they really wanted to float out there that they wanted him. There were rumors that, not rumors, Diana Rossini reported it actually, that the Rams were trying to trade up to get Brock Bowers at one point in the top 10. He wound up going to the Raiders a few picks after the Jets pick. Ultimately, like, I think it would have been defensible to pick Bowers because I think he's like a win now player. But clearly, Joe Douglas wasn't making this pick only for this year. You know, you don't pick an offensive lineman that's not projected to start right away. And if all goes well, he won't start a game this season. And that you don't really love that for a first round pick usually. But so this was a pick for 2025 more than 2024, which, you know, surprising all things considered. You know, Joe Douglas clearly didn't feel the pressure to get somebody right away, like Woody Johnson didn't pressure him into getting a, you know, a tight end or trading or getting Brian Thomas, who's still on the board as of we're recording this. I mean, that's going to change by the end of this episode, but, or by the end of the night. But yeah, so he didn't feel the pressure to go and get a guy that was for sure going to play on day one. Instead, they went and got their best offensive lineman on the board. They got a left tackle. He only played left tackle in college. We'll get into some stuff he told us, including that he's practiced a little better right tackle, but he's a left tackle long-term. And so you have a long-term solution at a position where you have an older Tyron Smith on a one-year deal. So look, I think it's very defensible. You know, I think that you can definitely debate whether you should draft someone who's not going to play right away when you're picking that high, but ultimately they picked a really good player. I think Olufashanu, sorry, I need to get that name right. Cause I've went this whole time thinking it was said the other way, but
yeah, I had more practice. I've been like literally the last hour, I've just been walking around my apartment going Fashanu.
So. Yeah. So I think it's a good pick. I don't think it's a bad pick. Maybe it's not an amazing pick, all things considered, but you picked a really good player, a guy who could hypothetically be your left tackle long-term. You picked a guy that, you know, they drafted Mekhi Becton. He had all the tools, but he had to play right away. It's kind of like the Zach Wilson thing. He had to play right away. Instead, he's going to get to sit back and learn from his hero, which he told us about, which we'll get into. He's going to learn from Tyron Smith, ideally for the entire year, and then you play him next year, and then you have a left tackle long-term, whether that's for this staff or whatever. But he's a guy that, yeah, I mean, long-term, he could wind up being the best offensive lineman in this class. And I think the fact that you don't have to play him right away, it's appealing in terms of his development, for sure.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I know you keep saying, like, he may not play this year. He may not play this year.
But this is the Jets.
I mean, we know better. Like,
he will.
The question is, when will he play? And maybe what position, though? Like, when they signed Tyron Smith, we pointed out the fact that not only is he older, but he's not played a complete season in a few years. But you mentioned that he has worked out at on the right side as well. So you look at this offensive line as constructed through the moves they've made. Tyron Smith at left, John Simpson left guard, Tippmann at center, Elijah Vera Tucker right guard, and then Morgan Moses right tackle, another older tackle. If Moses goes down, is the move to Olu in your mind at this point? He has to get on the field, he has to work out. There's a ton of things. But do you think, like in the Jets' mindset, are they considering with this pick, okay, here's protection for both tackles?
I go back and forth. I think the way Joe Douglas was talking about him, he kept emphasizing he's a left tackle. I think it's very encouraging that Olu can play, or at least he says he can play both sides. He worked out with Duke Manyweather, who's a great offensive line guru.
For a friend of the program, by the way, Duke.
Oh, he's been on. Yeah. Oh, nice. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Back in the
conference. He's talked really nice things about Mekhi Becton. But
yeah. Well, he talks about his guys highly. Yeah. But he worked out for Duke, and Duke's a very good trainer. And anyway, he was working out at right tackle, is what he said. And then he practiced a lot at right tackle at Penn State. I think he's a high character kid, too. I think he brings a little more maturity than the Mekhi did, frankly. Like, if we're just being honest, I think he's a really mature kid. He's athletic. I think he maybe has small hands or. He has small hands, so that's something to keep an eye on. But
he's ambidextrous, so that might make up for it.
But he's a big kid. He's athletic. He's really good as a pass blocker. He didn't give up a sack his last 2 years. He gave up one quarterback hit, according to PFF. He ranked as one of the best pass blockers in the country. I think run blocking, he's still developing, but you like him there. But anyway, to answer your question, like, remember, they do love Carter Warren. I think that is legit. And so, you know, maybe this allows them to keep guys on one side. If they really do believe in Carter Warren, then you could have Carter Warren be Morgan Moses' backup. You can have Olu Fashanu be Tyron Smith's backup. You have Wes Schweitzer in the interior as your top backup. And I think you feel way better about that group and maybe still add another interior lineman in, on day two or day three or something. But I think you feel pretty good about the fact that you have a starting caliber tackle ready to go. I mean, you saw, especially at tackle the last 2 years, like they've gone through all of the guys that they invested in. They brought in guys off the street that started out of nowhere and they just shuffled. I think there was something like 6 or 7 offensive tackles that played last year alone. So it's, I mean, they still have Max Mitchell too, who I think as a fourth tackle, you feel better about than maybe your third or second tackle. So they're just in a much better spot depth wise. They're more protected. You know, they have a lot of, it's an insurance policy. Aaron Rodgers more protected. Tyra Taylor behind him is more protected. So the goal is to keep Aaron Rodgers upright. I think Aaron maybe would have not preferred, but I think he was excited about the prospect of getting a weapon in here. Understandably, he's never, I think Ritz Media reported this. He's never had a tight end or receiver that was drafted in the first round before, which is pretty crazy in his career because the Packers never did. And that was always the thing. So, you know, and they picked the defensive end last year. So, but this serves to protect him in the event that Tyron Smith misses games, which you assume he will because he does every year. You hope Tyron Smith gets to the playoffs. That's all that matters. And if Olu Fashanu has to play a few games, I think you feel pretty good about it, especially if he doesn't have to play in week one. You know, so I think long term, this is going to be a great pick, I think, for the Jets. And it kind of goes in, it's kind of a pick in the Will McDonald mold, frankly. Like, this is not necessarily a pick for this year. It's a pick for long term. And it's bold for Joe to do that. Like, I think it shows his belief that the team is going to be really good this year. And it also shows his belief that they needed a contingency plan if Morgan Moses or Tyron Smith can't go for whatever stretch of the season.
So the tail of the tape, you mentioned size, 6'6", 312, consensus All-American, almost entered the draft a year ago, but went back to Penn State. Big Ten O-lineman of the year this year. Finalist for the Campbell Trophy, which is kind of called the Academic Heisman. So book smart as well. Team captain at Penn State. Checks all those kind of boxes that we know Joe Douglas likes, right? Like, seems like he's going to be a great locker room presence and all that stuff. And you know, you got to talk to him. So we should get into that a little bit. What kind of stood out? Let's start with Tyron Smith. You said that's his guy.
Yeah, he literally said, well, first he said it feels like a fairy tale that he gets to play with him because that was the first offensive lineman he ever watched. It was the guy he like, you know, it was the model of what he thought a left tackle offensive lineman should be. He watched his film for years and years and years. And he's like his smile when he was just talking about the chance to play with Tyron Smith. It was really cool. So, you know, a lot of times
that's what this stuff's all about. Yeah, like, totally. That's so cool. You know, yeah,
it's awesome. And, you know, and he gets to play with Aaron Rodgers, which he was really excited about too, but the offensive line, I mean, there's not many better. And I haven't interacted with Tyron Smith yet. I get the sense that he's a good, like he's a lead by example guy more than maybe like a rah-rah leader type guy, but he's the best example of a left tackle maybe in the league over the last decade. So it's, there couldn't be a better two. I mean, none of us thought they were going to get Tyron Smith in the first place. And now you both have him and you have his successor already in place. And so it's a really cool situation for Olu. Like I mentioned, he talked about how he thinks he has some flexibility. He talked about how he knows he needs to improve as a run blocker, but he just seems like he really has a really good head on his shoulders I know our Penn State writer, Aubrey Snyder, sent me an article that she wrote about him. I haven't dug into it yet, but I know it goes in depth into his background, and it seems like he has a really fascinating background too. So I'm gonna dig into him and learn all about him in these next few days. But I think they got a winner in terms of locker room presence. They've done a really good job with that the last couple of years, dating back to the 2022 class, where every single one of them was both talented and a good dude. And I think he keeps that going, and I think he's going to fit in here really, really well. And if he can take Keith Carter's coaching, and which, you know, not everybody can. I think Makai was an example of someone who didn't, and some others in the past have obviously complained about Keith, but you know, he has all the tools to be a really good offensive lineman in the NFL, and they have the ability to be patient with him.
Scott Docterman's doing the grades for the draft for The Athletic. He gave the Jets an A for this pick, and he's a Big Ten guy. He's a Iowa writer, so he's seen a little bit of Olu over the last couple of years at Iowa. Anything else stand out from the interview, or should we move on to some other things?
You know, I should say, I thought it was, it was when Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh also talked to us, as we mentioned, I did find Joe was like, he avoided answering the question when he was asked, like, would you have taken one of those receivers if they were there, which it might as well be an answer, because, you know, they pretty obviously would have. Otherwise, you know, it's a lot of the stuff that you expect. They're very excited to get this guy in the building and all that stuff. And they clearly had him rated as, if not their top offensive lineman, maybe two. So, you know, it's an offensive lineman that's not going to play is not the most exciting, sexy pick. It might not make the headlines in the New York Post tomorrow on the back page. I think that'll be Malik Nabers probably, because that's the wide receiver is always going to be the sexy pick. And that's why I think Jets fans were excited at the idea of getting Rome. I predicted him both in my final mock draft and today before the draft, just because everything I've been hearing is that he was their top guy. And they didn't.
Can you imagine if the Giants had taken JJ McCarthy?
Oh man. Yeah.
That would have been the back.
I think everybody thought that was going to happen. And once that didn't, it kind of opened up some craziness a little bit.
So, it did. It did.
Yeah.
So they didn't take a receiver, but the thing is about this draft is that's the position, right? That everybody has talked about is that it's so deep. So if you look at it from that standpoint, there's plenty of guys available right now. But even if you look at the Jets staying at 72, like staying at with that third round pick, there's going to be some talented receivers that there's not going to be a number one option. You know, maybe not a number two, but there's going to be receiver depth and guys that can play and fit into this offense probably this year available there if they want.
Yeah, I think that probably was part of the calculus, I imagine. You know, they could have traded back further. Brian Thomas, again, is still on the board as of right now, and we're at pick 20, the Steelers pick. I don't know. I'm not looking at who's tipping picks right now, but Steelers are at 20. They need a receiver, so maybe Thomas goes now, but we'll know that in a minute. But anyway, like, they could have, in theory, traded back and gotten a receiver later, but you know, you factor in already. And I tweeted about this earlier. I laid out the three different scenarios. You know what I meant? I wrote down like the reasons why you draft an offensive lineman at 10, which we've discussed. The reasons why you draft a receiver at 10, and the reasons why you would draft Brock Bowers. But within the offensive line one, I think you're more likely to get a starting caliber receiver in the third round than you are to get a starting caliber offensive lineman. Not saying you can't get them, but I think the later you go in the draft, the more developmental an offensive lineman is, where I think you see star receivers going in every round these days. And this is a deep, deep wide receiver class. I think they can get somebody really good in that third round. They have an extra fourth round pick to play with now if they want to move up. You know, if Brian Thomas
had three fourth rounders now, right? 111.
Yeah, three fourth rounders, and they have a third.
They're going to be busy on Saturday, Zach.
Unless Joe starts. I mean, I guess that still is busy. But anyway, so they have the opportunity to get a really good receiver if that's what they want to draft. And I still think they can get a starting caliber guy, a guy that doesn't, again, if Mike Williams is healthy, then this is a guy that doesn't need to take on a huge role as a rookie. They believe in Xavier Gipson. They're paying all the money they're paying to Alan Lazard, so he's still going to be here. So I do wonder if that was part of the calculus. Okay, the top three receivers are off the board. We love these offensive linemen. If we could take an offensive lineman, we're still going to get a good receiver, we think, in a couple of rounds. We have X amount of receivers rated as starting caliber receivers. And so I'm sure they feel really good. I know one guy that that took a top 30 visit, I think they're intrigued by, is Malachi Corley from Washington State. He's like a gadget type guy. I know Dane Brugler had them taking Malik Washington in the fourth round. He's another like gadget type guy from Virginia. there's some like speed guys that are intriguing. There's a 6 foot like seven receiver from Florida State. I think his name's Johnny Wilson. Xavier Leggett still on the board. Troy Franklin's a guy they hosted for a top 30 visit. I don't think he'd be there in the third round if they move up. Roman Wilson from Michigan. You know, he's a very athletic slot receiver. Jeff Ulbrich got a chance to coach him at the Senior Bowl, so they got a good look at him. So yeah, I think there's a lot of options here for them, and there will be. I think receivers are going to fly off the board in the second round because I think there's a lot of good ones. But whether they trade up to the second or they stay where they are in the third, they're going to, I think, if they pick a wide receiver, which, you know, it's not, nothing's guaranteed, they're going to pick the guy they think is the best player, but they're going to be able to get a good receiver still. So I think if they come out of the draft with Olufashinu and Malachi Corley, for example, I think you feel really good about that.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
And they are in a good position to move up in the sense that with those three fourth round picks, I mean, there's stuff to package to bump up to the second round. Now, one back to the trade a little bit, because obviously they move back one slot. So all they get out of that is like you give up a sixth with it and you get the fourth rounder and the fifth rounder. So it's not, you know, I think ideally, right, if you're Joe Douglas, although I'm sure maybe they didn't want to draft back too much, but you would have loved if you're trading back to get a second rounder out of that trade. How far do you think they would have had to fall back in order to get a second rounder as far as the math, the Jimmy Johnson stuff, all that stuff? Because it was probably part of the calculus, right? They may have had an offer that included a second rounder and they would have had to fall back further, but maybe they were like, no, we want Olu, so we only want to go back a little bit.
Yeah. So, well, I think that's the issue. In order to get a second round pick on the value chart, they'd have to have jumped back to the late teens, early 20s, yeah, probably.
When you're not going to get
and that top line. You know, Joe Douglas, I think one of the interesting things he says was we feel like there were nine non-quarterbacks that we would have felt really good about. So I feel like that's not a number that you jump back to 18 and still feel like you're going to get one of them necessarily.
Especially when the first 14 picks were offensive players.
Yeah, which is wild.
That's a record.
I mean, this is an offensive heavy draft, and I feel like these drafts are going to be pretty offense heavy going forward, frankly. So I think that was all part of the calculus. Once the Rams were trying to get in the top 10, I thought that was an intriguing spot if they wanted to get that second round pick. But ultimately, yeah, I think they had a certain number of guys they were willing to take. And if, you know, and this is what happens as it gets to your pick, you add up. All right, so these are amount of guys that we'd be happy with. So if we go back three picks, we can get one of them. So we feel good about going back three picks. They only needed to go back one. I think there was some confusion about why the Vikings would have done that trade. What I would say to that, and by now it's been explained by people, but the Vikings were protecting against the possibility that another team was going to jump in front of them, like the Broncos who drafted Bo Nix, the Raiders.
Which seems really likely, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I think the Jets at that point, once Adunze was off the board, they were going to trade that pick to someone. So
yeah. So I think the Joe Douglas played it perfectly. Maybe he made them squirm. He made the Vikings think like, we have an offer on the table. Like, what are you going to do about it? And he got an extra fourth round pick essentially out of it, because they gave up the six they got in the Zach Wilson trade. And then they got back a fourth and a fifth. So it was really good move by Trader Joe. I don't think he's done making moves. Like I wrote in my story the other day, they're working on a trade that maybe doesn't necessarily involve rookies in this class. I would say that might be happening in the next few days, but so keep an eye on that, a little tease. But I think Joe is going to be working the phones possibly to move up still. I think that's definitely on the board, though. I don't think they're dying to like give up assets right now. I think they'd rather receive assets, like I said. So I think that I don't know, it's something to keep an eye on. I mean, for tomorrow's gonna be very interesting if we're just sitting around for the entire second round. It's more fun when you have a second round pick, especially the second round. Second round's almost more fascinating to me than the first round, just because there's guys that were supposed to be first round picks that fell. there's, you know, some quarterback prospects that our team's going to reach to get them. Teams are trading up to get guys that, that dropped. Like, it always fascinates me the second round, because that's a lot of times where a lot of studs go to. So I'm fascinated to see if the Jets move up, because they have the pieces to do it.
Wait, are there any more quarterbacks left?
Well, okay, that's fair. That is fair.
Yeah, actually, it's funny. Spencer Rattler is actually like 72. He's 72 on the Athletic draft rankings. So there
and
you
I,
go.
Crazy. And I like Michael Pratt quite a bit. I don't think he's a second round pick, maybe late third at earliest. But so that's a fair point.
I can't believe Bo Nix went 12, by the way. But
I mean, if you're desperate for a quarterback, and that always works
well,
out,
they kind of
desperate and overdraft somebody. So.
I was watching ESPN, and apparently they had him. The Broncos kind of had him circled. That
by
was
the way, what
I
mean, what are,
I don't want to say that's their guy, because obviously if they're picking two, they're not going to take Bo Nix. But like, they were apparently, there were some Drew Brees comps that made sense.
The Broncos quarterback room has got to be one of the more uninspiring ones going into a season. I mean, it's Zach Wilson, it's Bo Nix. I guess we didn't talk about the Zach Wilson trade.
Oh, that's right. We didn't. And it's funny now. What a segue, Zach. Yeah. What a segue. Because I think I sent you when they made that trade. I think I texted you because I was looking at, what's Zach up against? I just had to remind myself what he was up against in that quarterback room. And I was like, wow, he could start. But now, obviously, I think Bo Nix probably starts.
Yeah. I mean, you would think it'll probably be a competition, I imagine, but they have Jarrett Stidham there too.
A competition.
Yeah. I mean, Sean Payton, to his credit, I don't think is going to hand anything to anybody, but yeah, Bo Nix is already like 25 years old too. So there's that factor, but should we talk about Zach a little bit here?
Yeah. And then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah. So what I'll say about that, I mean, it's kind of old news at this point, but the Broncos had been calling around about Zach all offseason, I think, since the beginning of free agency. I think they were waiting to see how the quarterback market would play out, if they were going to be able to get any of these guys, if they're going to be able to, once maybe they, I think they were open to the possibility that they could get a guy in the draft, but I think they wanted to protect themselves against it. And Zach Wilson was a guy Sean Payton had his eye on. I think he asked around about, his coachability, his willingness to learn, his skills, if he can improve in a new environment, all that stuff. I think they were doing a lot of research on him, which is why it didn't happen right away. I don't think there was much, if any, interest from anyone else around the league, which is also why the Broncos felt comfortable taking their time. The fact that the Jets got anything for him wound up being, they wound up pretty much having to pay the Broncos to take him, which is not ideal for a guy who drafted second overall a few years ago. But as we all know, it was time to move on. Maybe he'll thrive in Denver. He's closer to his family in Utah. He's out of New York. I'm very curious to see the first time he talks out what he's going to say. I do think by the end of his tenure, I think he matured quite a bit from the guy that showed up in New York. So, you do wish the best for him. I think his ceiling is probably a backup quarterback at this point, but Sean Payton's one of the best quarterback coaches the league has had in a long time. And Zach has to be willing to take hard coaching, because I think Sean Payton will coach his guys hard all the time. And if he can do that, then there's potential for him to become like an NFL quarterback for a long time. Maybe you're not a starter, but you can be in the league for a long time as a high-end backup. So I'm very curious to see how his career plays out. I believe the Broncos are coming to New York this year, so it feels inevitable that he'll play and probably have the best game of his career. But, it's the end of a saga. I think everybody's already kind of moved on. It seems like Jets fans have kind of just moved on from him existing in general.
We can all look forward to the Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold Super Bowl. In a couple of years,
that just true.
Somehow happens. I was gonna say though that Sean Payton, made it clear his lack of respect for the Jets coaching staff, at least on the offensive side of the ball last year. So it's interesting that then he gets this quarterback, and if he can kind of prove his point, if Zach goes out and looks great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is funny. This is the second trade they've done. They tried doing a trade with the Broncos early enough. They tried trading for Jerry Jeudy. They were the only other team to present an offer, and I think they offered more draft compensation than the Browns wound up offering. It was a different kind of package, but it included more draft compensation. They went with the Browns deal. So it's the second time they've dealt with the Broncos, which it is just funny because Sean just like trashed the Jets, not just Hackett, but he made fun of them for being like the offseason champions or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, and he's a part of their offseason now. So it just, the NFL is never ceases to amaze in terms of being weird.
The drama goes on. All right. I think that's going to do it. We've put a bow on this first round. If the Jets do something other than, you know, if they take a receiver at 72, we'll probably wrap up the draft on Monday morning, I think. But stay tuned, because if Trader Joe does his thing and they move up and things get exciting tomorrow night, we'll come right back and do another stream tomorrow night. Marissa, how's the ticker?
Doing great. So if you're watching this live, head over to the Athletic Football Show feed. Yes. And they will also be having a live stream tomorrow night. So
well, and you can
for
just
some more draft coverage from Dane Brugler, Robert Mays, and Nate Tice. That is where you can find it.
Two reasons to go over there, besides the great draft coverage, because it's second to none. But two other reasons. Robert Mays is a Bears fan.
And great mustache. Great mustache.
That was number two. Number one, they got Caleb Williams and Adunze. So he's like on cloud nine, like doing this stream. It'll probably carry him through the late part of the draft, that what and the Bears have done. And his mustache has grown to legendary at this point.
Yeah, he may never get rid of it at this point. Like, you can't. It's a great night to be a Bears fan. So, I mean, you got to go check it out. So
it's true. Although he was really excited when they traded up to take Justin Fields 2 years ago, too.
True.
So you never know. You never know.
Exactly.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Thank you for joining us late night here on a Thursday as the Jets take Olu Fashanu in the first round of the 2024 NFL draft. We'll be back with a full recap of the draft at the beginning of next week. Thanks to everybody for joining us.